Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Monday morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. I hope your Monday is off to a good start this morning. I've got my Banner of Truth mug with a nice fresh cup of coffee. And we are about to embark on one of the most glorious, beautiful, powerful, hope-filled chapters in all of the Bible. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this chapter unfolds your future destiny, where you will be, who you will be, what you will be when Christ returns. All of Revelation has been building up to these last two chapters that we're going to be looking at this week, and so I hope you'll be able to join us for all three of our devotional times. We begin with Revelation 21 this morning. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you that because of your Son, Jesus Christ, our great Savior, our perfect righteousness, our peace, our joy, our salvation, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are made yours forever. And nothing can separate us from your love. And when this world comes to its end, we will be home with you forever. Father, we pray that you would teach us from Revelation 21 this morning, write it on our hearts. Move our spirits to rejoice in Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty..." Excuse me. A little echo there. "To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies 4 square, its length the same as its width, and he measured the city with his rod 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was of pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for the temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. What a glorious picture of the New Jerusalem. So we begin with some clarification about this New Jerusalem, and that is that many, many Christians love this chapter, and they focus in this chapter as the New Jerusalem, the city with gates of pearl and streets of gold, the city shining with the glory of God as its, you know, as its temple and as its light. And they'll say, that's where I'm going to live. I'm going to walk those streets of gold. I'm going to... And there's a sense in which, of course, that's true. But what is actually being shown to us, the holy city, New Jerusalem, is a temple city that is the bride of Christ, that is the church. So rather than this city being the place where you will live, this is what you will be and what you will be part of if you are a child of God and if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this city comes to live in the new heavens and the new earth. Keep in mind, what we have in Revelation is symbolic visions of things that are beyond description because they are too glorious for words. And God is capturing our imaginations and capturing our hearts. We get the vital truth of what is going on in this chapter in the opening verses. A new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. The sea was an image of danger, of fear. It was something that was unpredictable, unstable, dangerous, deadly, and to be afraid of. So when it says the sea was no more, it means there will be no danger, nothing to fear. And we get this same idea at the end, where we see that its gates will never be shut, the New Jerusalem, its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. So no sea, no need to shut the gates, and no night. All adds up to there's no danger, there's nothing to fear, there's nothing scary or unpredictable, there's nothing that could harm you in the new heavens and the new earth for the New Jerusalem. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride for her husband, adorned for her husband. That's our key there, that what we're looking at here is a picture of the glorified church. In 2 Corinthians 5, which I just preached on yesterday, Paul tells us that we know that if this tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God. So this body is our earthly tent, but our resurrection body is our permanent home, our building from God. Other imagery in the New Testament, Ephesians 2, 1 Peter 2, says that we are living stones being built up into a holy temple. This is a temple city. The buildings of the city are us in our resurrected, glorified bodies. That's our building we have from God, our resurrected, glorified, undying, eternal, sinless, perfect bodies. Or we are stones in a living temple. This is a temple city. It is a giant cube. And the reason why it is a giant cube is because the holy place, the temple, is a giant cube. Okay? And so this is a temple city. It's a holy temple city. That's why there is no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty is the temple, because he's present here. The temple is where God dwells, and God dwells here. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. So this is the truth. The glorious truth is that we will be with God. God will dwell with us. It's been said, and I've said this on occasion, it's one of my favorite summaries of the Bible that I heard years ago, and that is, if you could summarize the whole message of the Bible in a single word, what do you think that word would be? If you could summarize the whole message of the Bible in a single word, and if your answer is Jesus, I'm not going to say that's wrong, it's certainly not wrong, but Emmanuel is the word, Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, at the beginning in the garden, God created man, male and female, in his image to be with him and for him to be with them. And God would walk with them in the garden in the cool of the day. But when sin came, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, when they committed cosmic treason and plunged the world into ruin, they were separated from God. They were driven out of the garden, and an angel with a flaming sword guarded the way back. There was separation. And ever since then, our worship of God is marked by the fact that we are separate from God. Again, just what I preached on yesterday in 2 Corinthians 5, while we are at home in this body, we're away from the Lord. And it's not until we depart from this body that we are with the Lord. But here, at the end of all things, in the new heavens and the new earth, we get a resurrection body, a glorified body, which is a building in this holy city. Again, this is symbolic. You got to use your imagination. God's trying to capture your heart here. And it's we will be with God, and God will be with us forever. And there will be no more sin or suffering or sorrow anymore. So with God, with no more fear, danger, sin, suffering, sorrow, pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. The former things, all the things that belong to this fallen world. Sin, suffering, sorrow, pain, death, grief, isolation, loneliness, fear, anxiety, dread, all of it wiped away by God himself being with us as our God forever and ever. And we're told, because it's almost too wonderful to believe, isn't it? It's almost too wonderful to believe, but we're told, he who is seated on the throne, that is God himself, says, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So this is the truth of God. And then he gives this wonderful promise. It is done. It is finished. It's an echo of the words that Jesus uttered from the cross. When he had paid for all of our sins, he said, it is finished. But now the consummation comes, and it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The spring of the water of life, that which refreshes our soul, that which satisfies our deepest thirst and our deepest longing. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. What a great, great promise. How do we conquer? We were told earlier in Revelation, we conquer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. What do we conquer? We conquer the passing things of this age and the God of this age. We conquer Satan and we conquer the world through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In other words, through what Jesus has accomplished and through our faith in him that we boldly proclaim before a watching world. But the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Those who don't partake of the first resurrection, which we heard about yesterday, Friday, those who don't partake in the first resurrection, don't have life in Christ, their destiny is the second death. Then we have a close-up view of the temple city. And I'm not going to go through detail on this because we just don't have time, and it's more for us to get an impression of how gloriously wonderful it is. But notice, I do want you to notice that when the angel comes, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls of the seven last plagues, when this angel comes, he says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So he saw it from afar in verse 2, and now he's being given a close-up tour of this holy city here, starting in verse 10. "But this is the bride, the wife of the Lamb, the holy city, Jerusalem." This is the glorified church. We get the number 12 a lot, because the number 12 is the number associated with the people of God, the number of the people of God, because of 12 tribes of Israel and 12 apostles of the Lamb. This is the number, 12 tribes, 12 apostles. 12 is the number of the people of God. So the city has 12 gates. The city has 12 foundations. The city has 12 precious stones around the bottom of it. And even its measurements, how big is it? It's 12,000 stadia, a cube. Width, length, height, all the same. A cube, 12,000 stadia. If you want to know how big 12,000 stadia is, it's about 1,500 miles. It's long. But you're not really supposed to think of this literally as, okay, it's 1,500 miles, not 1,700 and not 900. It's 12,000 stadia, which means it is the perfect and complete number of God. This is actually connected to the 144,000, okay? 12 times 12 is 144. The measurement of the wall is 144 cubits, 12 times 12. Remember the 144,000, 12,000 from 12 tribes. Here we have 12,000 on each side. Again, this is a picture, an image, a vision of the glorified church, the people of God. And what God is telling us is everyone who belongs is included, and everyone who belongs is made glorious beyond imagination, and no one is left out. And the glory that is here is a glory and a splendor such as our human imaginations cannot fully grasp. There is something missing from this city, though. There's no temple in the city. For the temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, which means the city itself is the temple, because God is with, God is in. God with us, Emmanuel, forever and evermore. There's no need for sun or moon, because the glory of God gives light. Its lamp is the Lamb. We have the glory of God. We have the presence of God. And there's nothing detestable or unclean, but everything good is brought into this city. By its light, the nations walk. The kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, or anyone who does what is detestable. Everything good from this life, everything good that God has given us as a blessing, will be kept. God's not going to lose things. God's not going to throw away good things. But they'll be cleansed and purified so that there's nothing detestable or false. All good things are given to us by the goodness of God, by his generosity. And he doesn't give things and then take them away. So we get to keep all those things. But there's nothing unclean. There's no danger in this city. And there's nothing unclean in the city. There's only one people in this city, those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that's my question for you as you close. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You overcome this world by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. Do you know Jesus? Are you trusting in what he's done for your salvation? And do you boldly speak of him to a watching world that needs to hear of him? Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful picture of the glory of your people. We will be glorified one day in such a way that it will be inconceivable to our minds now to see and to understand how perfect, how glorious. What will not be there, any danger, anything to fear, any anxiety, any sin, any death, any sorrow, any struggle, any pain. What will be there? You, Lord God. You will be there, and we will all be there as your people glorified. We will enjoy you, and we will enjoy one another forever by your grace and to your glory. And so to this we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Make our hearts more and more oriented toward what we will be when Jesus comes again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we still do have one more chapter left, and we're going to kind of take it in two parts, because there's a continuing vision of New Jerusalem, the river of life and the tree of life with its leaves for the healing of the nation. That's going to be Wednesday. And then Friday, there's really the close of the book that gives the final words of warning and the final invitations and applications, and that'll be Friday. So come back and join us again Wednesday morning for the first part of Revelation 22, and then Friday morning for our conclusion. Have a blessed day in the Lord.